Thank Chad for the good songs this morning. He actually sung my lesson in the first song. So we can just close our Bibles now and go home, right? No, no, we're not going to do that today. But first song we sang was about the Word of God, the Holy Bible. And Give Me the Bible was a title of it. And my lesson this morning is focused upon the power in the Word of God. And I think you see as we get, and I'm being a little bit overstating it probably, but the idea that the God's holy, inspired Word of God has power with it. And that's what I want. And that's what we should want and should strive for. We live in a world of relativism where it just matters what I think is right, what I want in life. And as we read and study God's Word, and if we recognize the authority of God's Word, in which we spent a lesson on already, talking about how it is inspired of God, that is God-breathed, that is His mind revealed to us, and tells us what we should be and what we should do, what the church should be. And the only way we can know that is if He reveals that to us. And He has done that. And so, as a title lesson that's continued, a second part of this from my series goes, is that there is power in the Word of God. So in this lesson, I'm going to take a look at some passages that bring this out as we look at Scripture. And each one of these brings up different ideas. And as we continue with an introductory kind of comments here in John chapter 8, he says, Jesus said to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then ye are My disciples. That's John 8:31. If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples. And ye shall know the truth. If you continue in His word, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And in this context, of being free from sin. The truth will make you free from sin. The truth that is His Word. That makes us free. We also see and learn an aspect about this Word as we look at Luke. And then some other Gospels as well offer this parable. The parable of sower. We all know this parable so well. Of the different types of soil. And how each soil is a different response to His Word. Let's read here, if you want to follow along in the book, or listen in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4, and I'll read this for our sake this morning. And when much people were gathered together, they were come to Him out of every city. He spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Others fell on the good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, He hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now here's one of the unique things about this particular parable. We have no doubt what Jesus meant when he wrote this parable, when he spoke this parable. He gave us the definition of these terms that he offers here in this example of this parable. And his disciples ask him, it says in verse 9, why, or what might this parable be? What does this mean? The disciples ask him in Luke chapter 8, verse 9. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. There's power in the Word. The seed is the Word of God. God did not put the Holy Spirit in the heart of man. God did not put truth into the heart of man. The Word is implanted into the heart of man. And it changes our whole concept of how we deal with the gospel. It changes the whole concept of how we deal with what's right and what's wrong. The Word is truth. And that's what goes into our heart. The soil is man, or our heart and our mind here. The seed is the Word of God. There's power in this Word. Those by the wayside are they that hear when it comes a devil and takes away the Word out of their heart, lest it should believe and be saved. Like the heart was the soil. In this case, the wayside. It was the roadway. It was a path that people walked on. It was the farm road going down beside the field. And as that someone would go out and in our culture would spread wheat and they would broadcast wheat, let's say, and seed would fall off on that road. People would walk on it. Birds come by and pick it up. That heart never received the Word. It wasn't the Holy Spirit put the seed in there. It wasn't the Holy Spirit told the heart what to do. It was the seed was the Word. Was what? Was the source of this. Not the Holy Spirit, not what they felt, but it was the Word. And so he continues on here. Verse 13, the rock, and we realize, you understand his example. When they heard to receive the word with joy, and they did not have root, and they believed for a while, but when times got difficult, temptation came along, they fell, they died. We get that example. But the word is the seed that was implanted, and it grew in this crevice of this rock, and it had a little bit of root, but not much, not much soil, and there was no moisture, no nutrients there, and eventually it died. But the word was what was implanted. And they which fell among the thorns, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And they never bring no fruit to perfection. But it was the word that was implanted. But that on the good ground are they which had an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. There's great power in the word. And that my intention is not to go and delve into the details of this parable so much. It's a great parable. We can see the work of it, but it's to go on and look through Scripture along with these two introductory passages and look and see what the power that exists within the Word of God. Not that the Holy Spirit did these things. Not that someone was guided in and of their heart to say this is what was right, what was wrong. We see that as the gospel is presented to us, as the truths are presented to us, God's holy, inspired Word is what presents these things to us. And hence, as we will conclude at the end of our lesson, why it's so important that we spend time studying, that we don't wait for something to touch our heart, as it were, to know what's right or what's wrong. It's not that we go and sit on a mountain somewhere and contemplate the things of life, that we present it with truth. It won't happen there. It doesn't happen that way. It happens through His holy, inspired writ. It is His revealed mind. And so I want to look, as we talk about this lesson this morning, at the other ideas in Scripture that bring out this point and the great power that is within this Word of God, the Holy Writ that we have with us today. The Word leads to belief. And what we're going to find here is the Word plays a part. It's a segment of it. And if we take this part out of the process, and I think at the end I got a chart that may help explain this, it's a part of the process. It's not an event. It's not a one thing, but there is a process. It leads to belief. The Word of God leads to belief. In John chapter 5, verse 24, I'm going to read there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath eternal life. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me. It leads to belief. This holy and inspired word leads to belief, and they have everlasting life. The words which the Apostle Peter spoke in Acts chapter 2 in the great sermon on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and guided the apostles, not working directly upon the believer's heart, he worked directly upon the apostles. And as a result of that message, what happened? As they preached, when they heard this, they said, in verse 37, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? Peter spoke the word to them. He gave the message of Christ, that the Redeemer had come, and if they had crucified him, they were convicted. This word brought conviction to them. As we continue on in Acts chapter 8, there's many examples. We look at this. Acts chapter 8 gives two great examples. And Acts chapter 8 also shows how the Holy Spirit worked in this process. As I've made a point so far, the Holy Spirit did not work directly upon the student of the Word. It worked upon, we're going to see it worked upon the apostles. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 17. Philip is going to Samaria and preaching. And he preached Christ unto them. In Acts chapter 8, verse 6, the people with one accord gave heed to the things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, hearing his word and seeing his miracles. For the unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, were lame, were healed. There was great joy in the city. And we continue on down. And then verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There's power in this word that Philip preached. They believed and they were baptized. And Simon himself believed, and when he was baptized, continued with Philip, wondering the miracles and signs which were done. And notice, Holy Spirit hadn't been involved yet. The Holy Spirit has not been involved yet. When the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, there was power in that word. But the Holy Spirit was not in that word. But the Holy Spirit was not at work directly. When they received the word, they sent to them Peter and John. And when they came down, they prayed to them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now the believers, once they believed, had an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not work on them directly in their salvation here. It was the word of God. It led them to belief, which led them to be baptized. It led them to act. And that's in verse 18. Simon saw that laying on the apostles' hand, the Holy Spirit was given. We'll continue on then, in the Ethiopian eunuch, some more examples here of how the Spirit and the Word worked. In verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south to the way that goeth down to Jerusalem, to Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. So here's Philip. How was he sent? I think you could say possibly the Holy Spirit sent him. An angel sent him. The work of God actually sent him, obviously. This angel sent him. And then in verse 28, let's continue the thought here. Verse 27, and he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and came to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sent in his chariot and read from Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, here's the work of the Spirit. It didn't work on, Spirit did not work upon the eunuch. The Spirit worked upon the Philip, the messenger. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And we know the story. As he preached to him and taught him, he read from Isaiah. And he continues down to verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth and began that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preached the word. And they went on their way, and it came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. Here, what doth hinder thee baptized? And if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The word of God led to belief. The Holy Spirit did not work upon the eunuch directly. The Holy Spirit worked upon Philip. The Holy Spirit sent Philip. Told him to go near to the chariot. And he preached Jesus. And he preached Jesus. The eunuch believed. Believed in Jesus. Not only believed in Jesus, as he preached this word obviously included baptism. We see the eunuch here was obviously baptized. That is the gospel message. But we see the word's work in salvation. It was not the Holy Spirit that worked directly in salvation. Certainly, the Holy Spirit was a part of it. In this case, he sent Philip. In our case, the Holy Spirit has revealed and confirmed the word we talked about in our last lesson. This is the results of our Holy Spirit that we work from today. The Holy Spirit did not work directly upon believers of that day, or directly upon those who were studying who were not yet believers. It was the Word of God that convicted. It was the Word of God that brought about repentance. It was the Word of God that brought about baptism. The Word of God that brought about belief, as in this case. The Word of God produces faith. Ephesians chapter 1 passage gives us insight to this. It produces faith. The Word of God produces faith. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Paul wrote here, we'll start at verse 12, that we should be for the praise of His glory. Of course, he's talking about Christians here. That we have a purpose in life. We should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth. It produced faith. And there's maybe a fine line here between belief and faith, and I'll give you that. But the idea of this particular passage, they trusted after they heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's the power in the word of God, not in our heart, not a direct operation of the Holy Spirit,
but the Word, the holy, inspired, written. The instructions revealed to the apostles by God through the Holy Spirit. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's where our faith is rooted in, through the Word and holy, inspired, writ of God. The Word also influences the heart. In Hebrews chapter 4, a great passage there for us to look at as well in this regard. Hebrews chapter 4, how the Word influences the heart. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us entering to His rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It influences the heart, but they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't let it into their heart. It did not profit them. It was the word that was at stake here. It was a word of it being referenced here. So much so, and I'll use this passage here, Hebrews 4:12. As you read on down here, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of son or soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is the word of God. There's power in the word. It influences the heart. It knows the thoughts and intent of the heart. It can discern that. There's power in this word of God. It converts the sinner from error. We read this in the verse as an introduction. John chapter 8. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the consequences of sin. That's the power of the word. It will convert us. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. That's the power in the Word. It's not in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of His holy revealed Word. As His apostles preached it and taught it and wrote it down. That is where the power is. For therein is the righteousness of God. There within His holy inspired word. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's not revealed in my heart. I don't go sit on some mountain somewhere and receive this truth. I don't go in a closet. No, it don't come over me. It is holy revealed word that does this. It converts us. And it is the mind of God that is revealed, as this passage also references here, as we've talked about the subject of our different lesson. We've already looked at Acts chapter 2. It converted them. Peter's sermon converted them. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God from his preaching. It led to their baptism and led to their belief and then led to their baptism. And they were converted from the error of their way. The Holy Spirit did not come down upon those people on the day of Pentecost and cause them to believe. It didn't come down on them and give them the word in their heart. The Holy Spirit came down on the apostles. They delivered that message. That message is what converted them. That message converted them. The Word of God. Second Peter, another reference over there for us, worthy to look at as we talk about this, as we talk about being converted from our sins, converted from error, making us right, or allowing it to give us an opportunity to become right. Second Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 20. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge, get this? They've escaped. Who is this? This is Christians. They've escaped this. They've escaped the pollutions of the world through the Holy Spirit, right? No. They escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Him. It converted them from the error of their way to righteousness. To a righteous path, to righteous behavior. We also see that this word is what judges us. We can look at, there's a lot of things you could insert in this particular thought. But John chapter 12, Jesus makes it clear one aspect that we need to be concerned about when it comes to judgment. is his words. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. His word will judge us in the last day. What he has left for us to read and to study and to learn, they're going to judge us. They will judge us. And some people say, well, that okay, and we got the red letter edition people. If Jesus said it, then it's truth, but the apostles were not inspired of God. They weren't guiding the truth. Paul claims this authority throughout his text, throughout his letters he wrote. Romans chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says, his gospel will also judge us. There is a link there. It is a inseparable link between what the apostles wrote and spoke and taught and the holy inspired word of God, the truths of God. They spoke what God gave them to speak. Paul's words also will judge us. His words will judge us. And so for just a moment here, I'm going to take a look at a chart and work through this process. We talked about another lesson about how the word is inspired of God, how man cannot create it. But yet we realize we live in a world where people look into their heart to what's right. If it feels right, then I'm okay. As long as I do what's right. You know, I'm saved, and it doesn't matter as long as I do what's right in my heart. But I think as we look at the scriptures, we see that the word of God, there's an analytical process here. Yeah, our heart has to be involved. There's an analytical process in us learning the truth. Our heart has to be right. Knowledge without action is just the same as faith without works. It's knowledge without action. We're lost. James told us that in his letter. Knowledge without action leads to eternal punishment. Knowledge with application. Knowledge with a good heart, as a good soul, as we started talking about in the parable of sower, results in salvation. Eternal life in one of the passages we read. This holy inspired word of God, as we talk about his word, the power in the word, yes, the Spirit was involved. It was the mechanism by which it was revealed. And I'm going to do a lesson to spend more time actually talking in more detail about this and develop it from a scriptural perspective, but just for our sake this morning. God sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and revealed and confirmed the word to the apostles. To the apostles, not to the subjects, not to the recipients in the audiences. They did not receive the Holy Inspired Word from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not work upon them except through the Word. The mechanism was the Holy. This is the mechanism, how the Word works. God sent it. Jesus promised it. The Holy Spirit came and revealed His message to the apostles. The apostles went around and confirmed this message by performing miracles that no one could do except they was from God, proving that their word they spoke was right. So the Holy Spirit revealed and confirmed it, and the apostles came, they received it, and they delivered it. They delivered it to the people in preaching and speaking to men as they lived upon this earth, and they came back and in many and various ways recorded these letters for us, the Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, the letters to the churches and all the prophecies of John, Revelation. They've been delivered. They've been confirmed. And it's within this book that we have that. We have access to that. It's not within our heart. It's not. We don't look to ourselves for these things. We don't look within ourselves for these things. Our conscience is not our guide. Our conscience is not our guide. So there's power in the Word of God. As we talked about, it leads to belief. It produces faith. It influences the heart. Converts the sinner. It judges us. As we talked about, the Holy Spirit does not directly act upon the believer, but through the Word which is revealed to us as we study. Which is why I'm sure we are all here today. We recognize the value as we sit and we talk and study about His Word together. This Word has meaning to our lives if we'll have accepted and trusted. Has meaning to how we live. Has meaning to how we operate and organize the church. We talked this morning in our Bible class about elders. You know, I was thinking later, so when we appoint elders, we have instructions. We have the pattern given to us. It says you have to have these qualifications. We mentioned how many were there. I can't remember the number now. There's a whole bunch of them.
I remember, y'all ever have school board elections or school or elections for class officers in like grade school especially, or high school? What was the qualification for them? Whoever offered ice cream, right? What my campaign's based upon everybody's gonna have ice cream every day for lunch. Well, you know who's gonna win that election, don't you? Want more recesses? But they had no authority to make those statements. They had no authority to deliver those things. God has given us the standard to go by. We don't have to guess. Yeah, we could want to have ice cream every day. We talked about we could put a $100 bill in each songbook in here and we could fill this building every day. But when we accomplish what God has established for us to do, and I submit to you, you know, we follow His Word. His Word will produce the results that He wants it to produce. He has promised us that. And it's not based upon our own opinions. It's not based upon our own methods. It's not on based upon what we want to do. It's based upon what He wants us to do. He's revealed that for us. There is power in His Word. Like I said, that's a lot of reason why we're here today. So we sit and we talk about this. We can even debate it, discuss it. But it's here. It's within this Word, not within our heart. Not waiting for something to come down upon us and strike us and show us the way. It's right here. An analytical process with a pure and honest heart will produce the results that God wants us to do. If you're here with us this morning, and if you've not completely accepted the Word of God, which teaches, as we kind of talked a little bit about in our lesson, that those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, can be baptized and have their sins washed away. If you have that belief, have that conviction, we encourage you this morning to make that choice, to have those sins washed away and begin that walk in Christian life. And if you've started that walk in Christian life and you stumbled along the way and failed in some way, and we can help you make those things right, we offer you this time to come and answer to our invitation as we stand and as we sing.